it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast here on a Friday afternoon. Man, one downvote already. Somebody coming in hot. I've already ruined the show, you guys.
I'm sure it was an accident.
Man, I started this thing off poorly. Guys, this Friday, really the last show in DNVR for the weekend, before we head into the weekend. And it's also the very start of the Colorado Avalanche season. I know a lot of people are wondering what's going on with the Avs. What are the storylines? What are the hidden storylines? And I brought on some people that know a thing or two about the Avs. First, I got Megan Angley.
Yes. You know, they have an off day tomorrow as well. So it's something of a weekend for the Avs before they play their fourth preseason game on Sunday.
Yep.
And it'll be here at home, and then they're going to be going on the road for a bit. They're going to actually start the regular season on the road. So this Sunday is kind of important in the eyes of Avalanche fans to get a better idea of how the roster battles are whittling down, because they've already made a few reassignments. And there are a couple spots I wouldn't say are up for grabs. There is a pretty steep competition for those spots and some good candidates vying for them. And it's why preseason is still a really important time for Avalanche fans to tune in and start watching this team, because like you mentioned, there are some storylines to follow and they're pretty exciting this year.
I love that. So is this like the games become more important in the preseason as they go on?
Yes, because especially for those guys who are vying for roster spots, it's a huge test and it's going to build trust with coaching staff, even if they don't make the NHL roster out the gate. Injuries do happen throughout the course of an 82 season,
right.
And they are making a case then for call-up down the line. And it's also for some of the more veteran NHL bona fide players to also get in games and shake the rust off a little bit. And so that's where we've seen a few of the new additions who are going to be in the NHL lineup get in games so they can get their legs under them. So we have a little bit, too, an idea of how they're stylistically going to start awesome. Fitting once the full NHL roster is put together.
Well, speaking of new additions, the new addition at DNVR also on the panel today, it's Eric Lacroix.
Yes, thank you. No, excited. It's fun to be here. And then, as Megan was saying, like in those first few exhibition games, it's I wouldn't call it, or whatever, preseason games, I wouldn't call them NHL games because they're really not right. up to NHL yeah. level. I mean, it is an NHL setting, but they're not NHL lineups. But it's a good opportunity for, I mean, for many reasons. Organizations will use players, dress them in the lineup and maybe make them play next to Nathan MacKinnon or Cale Makar.
So oh, really?
Well, you know, they make
so you get a blend.
You get a little blend. Make them feel good, you know, and then they go back to their junior teams and, you know, you see them next year at development camp and they go back. There's some confidence. They got to sit on the bench next to MacKinnon or Makar if you're a defenseman. And so that's a little bit of that. As you get more like tomorrow, the fourth one, we haven't seen MacKinnon. We haven't seen Rantanen.
Right.
We haven't seen Nikushkin. We haven't seen their best players. Typically, because you let the other guys play first. And
will you see them this weekend?
Well, you're probably going to see a few of them tomorrow. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a home game tomorrow. Don't have to travel. You would think that some of them are going to play tomorrow, the big boys. So if you're planning on going to Ball Arena, you should, because a few of them will play. It will be a better lineup than the first couple games. So it amps up a little bit as the week goes on. And you know, they want to work on power play. They want to work on penalty killing. They want to make sure their skills are ready to go. And they want to make sure that they get their rhythm, their feet from underneath themselves. And it's a hard sport, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's you can practice all you want. You can work out all you want. It's never the same until you play a game. And, you know, when you're pushing an opponent in the corner, it's a little different than pushing your teammate. So those games are important for that. There's a few more left after that. Coaches want to get down to their numbers now and, you know, feel good. Like we just talked about, oh, make him a junior kid. At the end of the day, Jared Bednar doesn't really care about it. He cares about wins. He wants to make sure he starts the season with a lot of wins. So coaches want to get down to their numbers quicker rather than later. You'll see that the next 48, 72 hours, they'll probably get down to their almost 23-man roster.
Okay. Alrighty. Before we get too far into this, I should mention that we are presented by Breckenridge Brewery. They have us, I'm going to go off script here, guys. They have us as Broncos Country being the official beer of right now. I think in a week's time that changes to Avalanche Amber.
Good.
I'm going to go ahead and turn the page a little bit early. Avalanche Amber, that's my fall beer. I don't know if you guys look at the weather report as obsessively as I do. We got like three more days of summer.
Yeah. Nice.
And then it's back down to the 60s, which I love. That's the perfect time to crack open Avalanche Amber. And then, of course, AV season starting up. Before we get into this too much of a preview here, I want to ask you, Eric, you've been around hockey your whole life.
Yep.
Son of a legend. Played in the NHL.
Yep.
Worked in the NHL. And then you've done some media, obviously, with the team broadcast. Now you're over here.
Yep.
I know this from us, from our meeting earlier this week, but
yep.
I'm always intrigued by athletes seeing on the other side of the mirror, so to speak. Like, what's really surprised you from being over here and just kind of seeing what it's like on this side of everything?
Yeah, totally different. And you gain a lot more respect. And Megan saw the other day, her and I were sitting down and Landeskog walked by. He's like, what are you doing on that side? You know, not that there is enemies. It's funny because when you're accustomed to seeing someone on one side, I did gain. And I said that this week, you get to see how hard it is in the grind of, and especially here at DNVR, and I'm going to, you know, give kudos to Rudo and AJ and Megan. You know, they do excellent work, and it shows, and it translates to the reputation they're getting around not just Avs management or players, but around hockey fans. It shows that they do their work, they're passionate, they care about the team, which is awesome, and that's a big thing that, you know, I heard a lot this last couple of weeks is, you know, those guys care, and I'll tell you one thing. I'm more than impressed by the quality of work they do. They're way more in tune or knowledgeable on prospects than I am, which is awesome. But I think we bring a little bit of everything to our teamwork. But yeah, it's different, and you gain a lot of respect how things work on this side of the fence. And I think that if you show respect and you do quality work, then you get the respect back. It's both sides, right? You know, if one side is not respectful, then it usually doesn't go well. So,
but I think what you're hinting at here, it's not just passion. I think with people at DNVR, it's obsession, like healthy obsession. But I think maybe that's one of the things.
Is it healthy? You
know, it's healthy because it's our job now. Yeah. It wouldn't have been otherwise. But no, but honestly, I think that's the thing that people. That on the outside, when they come to the inside, they realize is they're like, oh, you don't just watch the games, go to bed, wake up, and just fire something from the hip. These guys and gals on this Avs beat are watching tape, studying statistics. They're coming up with ideas and then testing out those ideas. It's like it takes a lot of obsession to really get the insight and mind themselves for insight into the things they're watching. And I think that's kind of the thing that you're talking about.
Absolutely. And we were in Vegas last week, Aubrey, covering, you know, the the rookie tournament. And I saw Rudo one morning, and he was, you know, his eyes were sideways like this. I'm like, what'd you do? You went back down last night after we said we went to bed? No, like, he went back to his room and did a lot of work. And that's the part that, for me, is new, not used to.
Right.
And, you know, cutting tape and looking at different things and vlogging. And, you know, those are all, like, stuff that I'm learning. But it was awesome to see the amount of... Well, first of all, in order to have a good coverage in order to have an excellent, outstanding coverage, you got to put in the work. And that's what I've seen is the work's being put in with the passion, with the obsession, like you said.
You know what I'm hearing, Megan?
You know.
Harder to be a media member at DNVR than to be a professional athlete. That's what I'm hearing.
That's what it 100%. Sounds like.
100%. It's easy to be a hockey player.
That's right. I mean,
you skate around a little bit. Name me a job.
Yeah.
You go to work at 8 a.m. You're home by 12 and you get 4 or 5 months off. I mean, there's not many jobs like that. So it's easy. It's easy to be a player.
Let's get big picture, though. I want to get into the Avs now. That's what people are really wanting to hear about. And what's the theme of the year? And I'm going to tell you, you guys are hockey experts. I'm very much a novice. I love the Avs, but I've got one eye on the Avs. I don't have two eyes on the Avs. My perception is they win a title. They're not just a team 2 years ago. They're not just a good team, but they have staying power. And then disaster strikes. So for me, this is like a back at it year. That's what it feels like. It's almost like a gap year happened, but now it's, hey, got to show that we're on top. What do you think, Megan? What's the theme?
I talked to Logan O'Connor this summer at the DU alumni golf tournament, and he described after watching the Nuggets parade and the run that they went on, how the guys were texting each other and wanting to get back there again. Cale Makar reiterated that sentiment around the NHL awards timeframe too. And what Logan O'Connor said about the mindset going into this year was that they want to remind everyone that they're the best team in the league. And I think that is a something to prove attitude that they're entering the year with, that they should have had a better result than they did last year. They were under duress with so many injuries, and I don't think their confidence dropped. I think they still believe in who they are, and this window is wide open for them to go after it again. And this year is just a year to remind everyone who the Colorado Avalanche are. I think they feel more in alignment with the 2022 Cup team than they did with the team that they had last year, because there were so many challenges with injuries, and they just want to get back to that and remind the league and put them on notice as to who they are.
Eric, do you feel that people need reminded? Are the Avs coming into this season as a team that people think, oh, that's the 2022 team, they're back now? Or are they saying, I don't know?
They've been saying this for years, and whoever you talk to around the league or executives or players are, well, they're good. And yeah, that's what you get, right? And they are good. I mean, I think they're outstanding. Is the word redemption from last year, or, you know, whatever the word you want to use, but, you know, they want to get back to that platform that made them the best team, the last team standing, right? Reaching the summit. Do I think they're as good as they were 2 years ago? I think they're just as good. I do believe Landeskog, it does hurt. Touching on Landeskog, I said that last year. They lose Gabe 2 years ago. I think it's a different answer, because they have not won. You know, if you go back 2 years ago, they have not won. All of a sudden, you don't win because I don't think you win if Gabe's not.
Right,
there.
Right.
Last year, it's a different thing because now his presence is still there. They've won together. The feeling's there. McKinnon, Makar, Rantanen, those guys have won now. So I think the loss of Gabe, which I'm a big Gabe fan, so I don't want anyone to think that, you know, Gabe's not important. Gabe, I'm a big Gabe fan. So that is not my point. But my point is you can overcome that right now with the leadership group that you have and the feeling that you have of winning. And like Megan said about Logan O'Connor, going back to that feeling, it is a feeling you, once you feel it, you want to do it again.
Right.
And my point is we have a core here in Denver. We're lucky to watch day in and day out,
right,
because they won. And we'll feel that with the Nuggets, too, this year. But if you – Bednar said something at his presser that Megan and I were at Inverness the other day. 13 guys are back, right? And there's like 11 guys out of the 13 last year at career years. So it's not like they won the Cup. They sat on their bacon and like, all right, I'm fine. I won the Cup. No, they actually went and had career years, most of them. Gabe obviously being one of the two that didn't have a career year because he didn't play. And I don't know who the other one is. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I thought it was interesting to see. And
but
I was
the key guys like Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen.
It's a career years.
Bo Byram, yeah.
McKinnon, career McKinnon. Year last year. Yeah. I mean, Bo Byram. The list goes on. And I do believe if you compare from 2 years ago, yeah, Gabe's not there. Then Kadri's not there. But now we'll see with the addition of Ryan Johansson. But now you have Colton Wood. Georgiev is a way better goaltender than Darcy Kemper in my book. No offense to Darcy. He won.
He also had a good playoff run. I mean,
oh
like,
his,
there's like, what is a player, and then what were they during that run? And I just remember thinking, like, he's playing above himself in some key games.
I would have made that trade. I was getting flack around Denver for saying I like the Darcy Kemper pickup, because I would have done the same thing. For that time, it was the right pick. But do I think Georgiev's a better goalie than Kemper? Absolutely.
Okay.
So I think we saw that last year. So now I think overall, you have just as good a team, if not better. And I know Kadri and Burakovsky are not there, but the way they formulated the top 12 right now in the 6Ds, and you got to remember, Kale's better, McKinnon's better. They are better. Rantanen's better. So now you're a force to be reckoned with. I do believe they come out of the West this year. So I would say that around the league, nobody wants to play them in the first round.
Megan, here's my impression, though, of the team. The difference between the team in 2022 and 2024 this year, I would define the Avs as a skill team. Very, very fast, very, very skilled. That was one of the things. But maybe not tough. The year they won it, I thought they were tough in large part, just watching it as a non-hockey person. Kadri brought some of that toughness. Mm-hmm. And it made everybody else around him tough. And so when they got punched and when they had to go to St. Louis and everything's tied, it's like, hey, no, they were ready for that moment. Are they tough? Did they replace that toughness over the last 2 years? And are they susceptible to being bullied?
I think Kadri is a wonderful point because Landeskog also is a punishing player to play opposite of. And so there is then some toughness that needs to be replaced in losing both Kadri and not having Landeskog. And I think that's where the new additions, the combination of Miles Wood, he's a crash bang type of hockey player that's going to bring physicality to his game.
Such a great name for a guy to be a physical. Lay the wood.
Ross Colton, also a tough player, a two-way player too, though, who has skill upside to get excited around. Yeah. Ryan Johansson is a tough customer as well and has so far, in what we've seen of him, fit very well with the way the Avs like to play. And so that certainly adds toughness. And then one of the roster battles we're looking at is on the fourth line forward position, ideally down the middle. And depending on who they end up with there, I think that's something they're specifically seeking out for that position, is somebody who will add toughness. And so, in looking at that part of it, I think they certainly got tougher. I wouldn't necessarily describe Tomáš Tatar as a tough player, but he is going to add skill to the middle of the lineup. That's going to help some of those tough players be able to lean into that side of the game without worrying about needing to be something that they're not. And then the big question mark on D is surrounding Josh Manson. He appears healthy to return to gameplay and 100% game form, but he is a tough player. Right. And when you get a full season of Josh Manson, that is absolutely what he brings to the lineup night in, night out. And so in looking at more games from Josh Manson, who did miss a lot of time last year, that's absolutely a quality in this Avalanche group that I might argue is even tougher than the 2022 team.
Really? Well, so Eric, here's an interesting way to approach this. There is, do you have the enforcers, which it sounds like there are guys you feel are going to step up and play that role. But then there's also Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen. Those guys, are they tougher than they were 2 years ago just by that's one of the things you gain when you're in the league for a while?
Absolutely. And the one thing I think we saw, and maybe people around the league are not familiar with, for example, Cale Makar, how tough he is. Cale Makar plays a hard game. Like he's not afraid to lay the body. He's not afraid to block shots. He's not afraid to be in front of stuff. Like, he plays a hard game.
But you know the difference between a guy who's physically capable of being physical versus like the mental toughness that comes with getting over the hump and when a team punches you in the mouth or gets physical.
Yeah. But that's my point. You know, like I think you're not going to intimidate Cale Makar.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not, and you're not going to intimidate Nate MacKinnon.
Right.
We've seen that. And I think Mikko, even the personality, you know, he's more a laid-back dude and happy-go-lucky. I think he showed that, you know, he does get mad. And he is such a big freak of nature. I mean, he's so big, and it's not normal to be that big in that sport. So it is. I do believe that they are tougher. I do believe, like Megan said, Miles Wood, Colton, those are tough players. They're tough to play against. I do believe Logan O'Connor, for example, is even tougher to play against than he was a couple years ago. There's more experience. You got to remember, you get better with experience in this league, right? And it's not like Logan is 38 years old now and he's out of the game, right?
You know, right.
There's only one freak and it's Cogliano. So he doesn't seem to, he's ageless, you know what I mean? And then still plays that hard game and guy breaks a neck and he's back, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, nothing stops that guy. So, no, I do believe they got all the key ingredients to get to the summit again this year. Again, like I said, I'm going to go as far as I said earlier 2 seconds ago, as good as 22. I'm going to say this is a better addition than 2022.
Wow.
In my book, the way the team's formulated, especially with Tatar the other day, because, you know, you're talking, you just compare, like Burakovsky, you know, 30 goals. I mean, you're talking about, you know, same type of
roster,
you know,
to roster, just kind of going down the line.
And Cale Makar's better than he was 2 years ago. MacKinnon's better than he was 2 years ago. You're better in that. You know, I'm just saying, this is, the Kadri was a great number two center. He was, you know, and he delivered and he did a good job that year.
That year in particular, he delivered.
You know, before that, but that year, that playoff, he did the job. Can somebody step up like Ross Colton? I think he's the guy for me that's going to step up in a big way.
Megan, how much better is Cale Makar? Like, I mean, we don't know that, but how much better can he be?
I don't ever want to put a ceiling on that player. He's so special, and I think that's why it's impossible to imagine the places hockey will take him, just because even a down year for the Avs, and struggling with injuries of his own, he continues to be such a steadily good player, and he grows and matures too. He already entered the league with the mind of a 30-year-old man, but he is stepping into more of a leadership role as well. And so there's no absence of opportunity because of the way Kale McCarr is utilized too. He's an all situation player, and that is why the sky is the limit when it comes to him. I don't know if you're asking like specific point totals, but I think he has a 100 point season in him at least once in his career. I think that he's ramping up towards, health permitting.
But I even, maybe an easier way to think about it, and this is, I hate ranking players across the league, especially in, like, it gets confusing, but you know, can he be the best player, one of the best players, impact? Like, where do you think, is he a top five player? Is he a top 10 player in that capacity this year?
I think he's one of the best defensemen.
Yeah. Just defensemen. So we'll just cut it at the... Because he's not even a defenseman.
He's like he's like an extra forward on the ice sometimes, too.
And he controls the game. Yeah,
That's it. He controls both things. He is a defenseman, but he's also...
He's in a top 10.
Okay.
I don't know if that was ambitious, but I would put him in a top 10 NHL player
conversation.
That'd
be more ambitious than you.
All right, let's hear it. Get spicy. I want to hear it.
No, I say it again, and I'm not afraid to say it, and people say, are you all right? Are you drinking? You know what I mean? And my answer is, for me, Kale McCarr is the healthy Kale McCarr is the most valuable player in the National Hockey League. For me, that's what he is.
This is the spice I was looking for.
No. I'm not afraid to say it. Yeah. Like, for me, my style, listen, you can always discuss, taste, right? You know what I mean? But if I need to go, and people are saying, Connor McDavid, Nate McKinnon. No, I'm not saying that they're bad players. It's not what I'm saying. But if you ask me to go play 7 games, you get the pick of anybody, that's the guy I pick. For me, he's the most valuable player. It's 30 minutes a night that, you know, give and take, that you control the game. And that's a special... you're going to say, so does McKinnon. No, or so does McDavid. I'm not saying they're bad players. That's not what I'm saying. But if I got to pick a guy, Kale McCarr is my guy.
This is what I like about that take. And again, I'm a hockey idiot. Yep. I just watch it as fun. I don't try to know or have good takes. I just watch it. But there is something about no matter what sport you're watching, you can tell who controls everything the most. And there's more spectacular. There's better goal score. There's better, skills. You break down all the skills and you say this or that. But controlling the game is something that's abstract and, like, it's not a specific skill. It's just something else. And Kale McCarr, to me, is the guy that every time he's on the ice, I'm like, he's dictating the defense. He's dictating the offense. He's just dictating everything. And that's why, to me, I was on this, 2 years ago or whatever. McKinnon, I love McKinnon. I love all these guys. But I was always watch him and go, I just feel like Kale McCarr's doing he's the one in control out there and what have you. And that's why I always feel that way.
You're talking about obsession. You know, if you're an obsessed fan, I am obsessed with him. But if you're an obsessed fan, you need a bathroom break or whatever it is, and Kale McCarr's on the ice, go ahead. Because you're not going to get scored on, and you're not going to be panicking, right?
Right.
So you know what I mean?
So
I'm going to go take a bathroom break and I'll come back.
We're good.
Maybe we're going to be up by one or two, but we're not going to be down. You know what I mean? And that's the feeling he gives me, when you're watching the game and you're like, okay, he's out there, we're good. You know what I mean?
I feel the exact same way. I feel very comfortable with Kale McCarr's on the ice. On the other side, I want to hear what people are saying, some critiques about the Avs, what could go wrong from this year, as well as some of the new faces. And then later on, I want to break down every player and just kind of give me the quick rundown on each player so the people that don't know can get familiar with the cast of characters. But first, Eric, what can you tell me about DraftKings?
Yes, let me get my thing here. Yes, I can do that. And speaking of DraftKings, let me see my thing. Sorry about that. Obviously, we're back with football season right now, hockey season, all that kind of stuff.
But, how many football games you watch in a Sunday?
I'm a hockey, I'm a hockey guy, but
one tenth of a football game.
But I have it on. I have it on. You know what I mean? But I'm not an expert.
Okay.
I don't pretend to be an expert. I ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So when I'm upstairs here in the offices, I do like to pick their brains and ask.
Right. Okay.
So I did ask, about the college football games tomorrow. I did ask about the Bronco games. Yeah. That are Sunday, but obviously we're back with another week of football. DraftKings and Sportsbook is keeping us in the NHL, NFL, and NHL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of 2 new offers every game day this September. I'll tell you one thing. We were just talking about Kale McCarr. I would put some money down on him, you know, Gail McCarr winning the Hart.
I love it.
I would. I mean, I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
Really?
I'm going to do it.
How does he win it? So what, do they need to be a one seed? Do they have to, like, be the top of their conference?
Well, I mean, yeah, it does. You have to look at that. But sometimes, you know, teams are like, oh, he didn't make the playoffs and he's the MVP. And it's like, I always get mad about that. I'm like, no, you gotta make the playoffs, you know, to be an MVP, the most valuable player to your franchise, right?
You know what? I might do this right now.
I'm trying to look at it.
Just makes it more fun. Then so I get to stand harder, you know, all year
long. I would
long.
Put some money down, and it's. I think the odds are pretty good.
You wouldn't lie to me.
I wouldn't lie to you. So, football's more fun when you're in on the action. So download the app now and sign up with code DNVR. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets.
Man, Kale McCarr plus 3,000. Yes. I love this.
See, I just told you.
You know what? This sounds like a Jokic bet here.
That's a legit bet.
That's only
on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports
Look at this.
Betting partner of the NFL with code DNVR. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text Hope New York, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas.
Yep, KS.
KS. Licensed partner, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, LA. 20 plus age varies by jurisdiction. There's my French coming out in me there. Jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms of eligibility, terms and responsible gaming resources.
The longest disclaimer in the history of disclaimers. We're halfway there.
Bonus bets expires 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Rudo's a lot better.
There you go. Yeah. You got through it, man. My goodness.
We're good.
Guys, I also want to tell you guys about Game Time. I have two things I've bought tickets on Game Time lately. I've bought for Red Rocks. I'm going to see Hozier, me and the wife.
Nice.
Then we're going to see Nathaniel Rateliff at Ball Arena in December. But maybe this weekend you're looking at going to the Rockies and catching the 102nd loss of the year. You might be looking for that. I'm told there's fireworks tonight.
No.
You can hop on Game Time. I'll bet you can find tickets for like $1. Or maybe you're trying to go to the USC versus CU game to be rub elbows with, I'm told, Tom Cruise will be there. Tom Cruise for some reason, LeBron James, all the celebrities are coming out. Can't find tickets for $1 on Game Time for that one. The price is going to be slightly higher than that. You're probably paying $400 or $500. Nonetheless, whatever it is you're looking for, check out the Game Time app. All right. Oh, yeah. Use promo code DNVR. You get $20 off. You can
nice.
20 Rockies tickets or 1/40th of a CU ticket. Depends on which way you want to go with your $20 off. all right. Damn. Back here, segment two. We're talking about Avs. We're previewing it. What about this? What's the biggest question that needs answered? The biggest mystery about the Avs? I'll start with you, Megan.
I think the biggest question in the immediate is goaltending, and it relates to backup goaltender Pavel Francouz and his status and availability for the upcoming season. We learned that he won't be ready to go to start the year, but we don't have more of an outlook as to when and if he would return and if he'll be healthy.
What is it? Did we know the injury?
Lower body injury.
Lower body.
something
hip flexor
that's bothered him.
Groin.
So I reported abductor in the summer. He had a procedure, but then I saw adductor, and I know they're different. They're different. Very similar.
Pushing out and pulling in. I'm told. So I don't know which
is
which.
But we're still talking lower body, and he had a procedure in the off season. It is something that has bothered him before. That's why there's some concern then, just for the future outlook.
That's scary with a goaltender because I feel like that's what you're always flexing.
That's why it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Is Georgiev's wonderful, and I share the same faith in Georgiev that Eric does. But they then need to have a backup solution because they didn't sweep the Western Conference Finals without Pavel Francouz. They need a solid backup goaltender option. if they are looking to make a deep run and go after it again. And they don't have to, out of desperation, answer that right now, but they do need to be asking themselves that question.
Outside of goaltending, Eric, what's another question about the Avs this year?
Well, you go back to the numbers two center, right? When Godfrey left, you know, Newhook was supposed to be the guy last year. We all saw that it didn't work out. Doesn't mean that Alex is a bad player. I don't think he was ready for that type of assignment, being young and his game not there yet to be the second line center on a Stanley Cup caliber team. That doesn't mean he's not a good player. But I do believe Ryan Johansson can be that guy. Now the question is, will he be that guy? I don't think it was a very risky move by the Avs, right? Used to be in Columbus. Nashville paying half his salary and then him being here. Just that alone should light a fire under your butt, right? To make sure you're, you know, want to show that, hey, the best team in the NHL, in my book, wants me to play for them and you're paying half my salary.
Right.
So right there should light a fire. And he is capable of being he's a big guy. He fits in perfectly here. So if he can find his game and bring his emotion level day in and day out, which is not easy to do, and that's what McKinnon does every day at practice. That's what McCarr does. That's a mindset. I'm sure he hasn't been around that yet, or else he would be a Stanley Cup winner. You know, and he's not. So I think this is something he's going to have to get accustomed to. If he can figure that out, and I think Avs fans will be excited that, you know, you have a big guy there and you're playing behind McKinnon. So right away, you're not playing against top-end guys. You're not playing against top-end Ds. You should have freedom to do what you can do, and he should be successful. So I think that's one thing that we'll have to wait and see how he reacts and how he does.
Okay. What about this one? Before we get into player-specific things, who are the contenders in the NHL this year? How, are there a lot of them? Are there a handful of them? Who are we fighting with?
I still think Vegas is going to be competitive.
I hate Vegas. If I have like two teams I hate, it's St. Louis and Vegas. And then if I added a third one, it'd be the Mild.
I also don't love St. Louis.
St. Louis, I think everybody kind of hates it. Like, that was like an easy one. But Vegas, man, really got under my skin in the last year before getting over the hump. Like, I just, from that day on, when I talk about being bullied, they were bullied. So I hate Vegas. All right. But so Vegas is in the mix. Also, Las Vegas hockey. Come on. I'm sorry. That's my personal thing.
Eric has some deep Vegas ties. It's tough.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think that the fan perspective was the cap circumvention definitely rubs some people the wrong way. But they
don't even know about it, but I hate it now.
Been great at constructing competitive teams. Yeah. And that's why I'm not counting Vegas out of contention. I think that Florida is also going to chase after it again after the deep run that they made this last year. And there was one other that I was looking at.
You like Dallas, though?
No? Dallas. And especially within the division for the Avs, I think that's going to pose maybe one of the biggest problems for them. But those are definitely some heavyweights.
Yeah, I agree with Megan in the West. Like, for me, you're the champion until somebody dethrones you, right? You know, it's the same thing with the Nuggets this year. Until somebody takes it away from you. The Avs last year, Vegas did it. You know what I mean? You know, somewhere they did the job. Now I think you got to be considered dangerous if you won. I do agree, Dallas. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, I don't know. I feel weird about them. But but if you look at them on paper, like we were doing like a few weeks ago, you're like, God, they're pretty good.
I hate to admit this.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? So
did Dallas have Colorado's number two lately? Are they a team that's kind of like...
Interesting. I don't feel like it's
okay.
Super
I got that wrong.
Contentious,
then.
But they're competitive games.
Okay, I got it. I got that wrong then.
I mean, I like Ondra and Ned. I do. I mean, I think you know. I think he'll get better and better. But and then in the East, I think Carolina is probably a team that maybe this year gets over the hump. I don't know. You would think after a while, like they were so well built. Rob Brind'Amour, great coach.
Yeah.
They do have a little bit of everything, so we'll see. You know, again, can they stay healthy in the net? I don't know. I mean, they got three goals.
Jersey,
who knows?
When Jersey's
up and comers,
Well, not healthy if their netminders can prove themselves.
So I think in the East, it's one of those two. And then in the West, I mean, I'm going to stick with the Avs in the West because I do believe they come out of the West. So in order to win it all, you got to come out of the West, right?
True.
There you go.
Let's now I want to get like a 5 second. This is first. I want all the casuals, right?
Yeah.
I count myself in this. The people that are just watching. Let's just do a quick crash course where you each give me 5 seconds on the players. Just to tell me, give me an overview. If you were to explain in 5 seconds what these players are, what they do, who they are. Cale Makar. I'm starting easy here.
Yeah.
It's almost like...
It's like too hard?
One-word answers for okay. the car. He's not human.
Yeah. I mean, he's phenomenal. I mean, again, best player in the league for me.
Best player in the league. And also, just I would say, if I were to add in there, it'd be like a very unique player. He plays the position unlike anyone else. Nathan McKinnon. You start this time, Eric.
Well, a guy that wants to win again. He's an angry fella. Like, he just goes out there and he just plays with fierce competitiveness. You know?
I love that.
Fierce competitor.
Yeah.
And then incredible skill as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to want to top his 111 point season. That's who Nathan McKinnon is.
Mikko Rantanen.
Happy go lucky guy. Combination of skill and size, which in hockey is usually not legal. So it makes him lethal.
Okay.
He didn't always use it well, too. And last year, I felt like the maturity really clicked for him. He's a leader. And I think he might not get 50 goals again, but he's also going to chase it down.
That's kind of an interesting question, right? He had a big year last year. Like, can all of these guys have big years in the same time? We're kind of counting on it. Okay. Yeah. Nichushkin? Is this one like the hard one? Am I getting hard already?
No.
Just what kind of player is he? What does he bring to the table?
I mean, I'll go like he's a hunter. So he just hunts. You know what I mean? Like he's out there. And it's another guy that to be that big in hockey, it's weird. And to be that fast and skilled. And he's a different type of player. He's more a secondary player, but a very important one.
Okay.
A lot, I don't want to say to prove, because he has proven to this group who he is, especially in that 2022 Cup run. He was one of the most valuable players.
Yep.
And to keep it in 5 seconds, this year's a big year for him to rebuild some of lost trust. I don't think it's entirely lost, because he usually is a committed player. Extra hours in the weight room after games, usually the last to leave. That's the type of player that Nichushkin is, and that's who he wants to be again this year.
Bo Byram?
Confident. He is such a confident player who hasn't gotten to play a full 82 game season, and that is what he's chasing down this year, and health permitting, he has a lot that he wants to show people that he is.
Yeah, 32 teams around 31 other teams around the league would love to have him. I would best describe him as probably one of those up and comers stars in the National Hockey League.
Sam Girard.
Great skater, mobile defenseman. I think has been a scapegoat in Avs fan base for a while.
So he's the guy that fan bases like go pin everything on?
Yes, and so here's the thing. Depending on Devon Taves, I don't know if he's in your list, Girard could be part of the Avs D future depending on what happens with Taves, so it's a big year for Girard.
This guy can move. Like, not a lot of people can move with a puck around the league. He's not the biggest guy, but he's never afraid, but goes in there, and he escapes himself out of trouble with his skating ability. He's one of the best skaters in the National Hockey League.
All right, we'll do Taves.
Such a perfect partner for Cale Makar.
Your facial expression, first of all, just your facial expressions on even these tell a story. So like, on some I ask and it's like, whew. And then some it's like,
Devon Taves.
This one, like, it was a light up
giant
like,
smile. Love yeah. Devon Taves. I love what he means to Cale Makar and what Makar means to him. They complement each other so well. Also an important voice in their leadership group, and just such a steady and smart defender.
I mean, more and more people are starting to know about him, obviously, but I would say probably top three most underrated players in the league.
Really?
Yep.
I love that one. What about Arturi Lekkonen?
Heavy forechecker, real try-hard. Also compliments Nathan McKinnon very well. Stylistically fit Colorado in the way they like to play extremely
like
well. And honestly, since they have him for a couple more years, just a part of the future and what they're chasing down in this window.
If you're a young man or a young kid, you're learning to play hockey and you play youth hockey and your dad's trying to show you how to play, and just watch all of Lekkonen's shifts. And you hear that 200-foot hockey player, like, he just plays hockey the right way. And if you're trying to become a hockey player, like I said, watch him. It's not flashy. It's steady. But it's the right way.
I love just in hearing this. Why I like this sort of experiment is it reminds me so much like when you talk about the Nuggets. You've got your star players and, you know, that's where you light up. And it's like Jamal Murray, oh, dynamic, this or that. And then you got your guys that are like perfect fit, fundamental. They do everything right. And it's like you need the combination of all those things. And that's what it kind of sounds like we're getting with these guys. What about Josh? I got a couple more just because I want to like internalize these myself. Josh Manson.
They call him the manimal. He is
the manimal.
Yes. Okay. Like an animal and Manson and a man put together. Okay. And it is because he is a human wrecking ball who you just don't want to play opposite of. And that's why the Avs are so fortunate to have him. I think he was one of the missing pieces at the deadline of the cup year that helped them to get across the finish line.
I would say split personality. One of the nicest human beings on the Avalanche team off the ice and just a menace on the ice. I mean, this is it's a split personality. I'm older. I played against his dad, and his dad was mean. I can tell you that. And they called him Charles.
Charles Manson. Yeah, yeah, there we go. I love it.
I don't know if she knows who Charles Manson is, but you know.
You ever heard of it?
I don't know, but
I love these ideas. Like no, Elvis, I don't know if you've ever heard of. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a little past your time. Older, you know? Yeah. All right. Who's the best player I haven't mentioned? Non-goalie edition. We got Cogliano. You got Johansson.
I'll give you the O'Connor. I'll give you first pick.
I've been weirdly obsessed with talking about Andrew Cogliano, and it's because of how important he is to the culture of the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
You see him being the guy to talk to young players, new players. He gets them acclimated to the way that Colorado likes to play. He leads by example. And the lore with Cogliano is that call during the Stanley Cup Finals that rallied the team to just go out and play their game so that they could win it all and not get too caught up in the pressures. And it helped them, and everyone cites that phone call or call meeting as being very important.
I'll go with a newcomer. And someone that's won before just wasn't here. I'm gonna go Ross Colton. You know, I think he's gonna become a key addition to this squad. Something they were missing last year. And again, another guy that's won. You can't count that out. It's important when you know how to do it. When you've done it, you can translate that to other guys on the team that have not done it.
Let's do a rapid fire now where I ask you on a scale of 1 to 10. You're going to rank the Avs. 10 being the absolute best, 1 being the absolute worst. You're going to put them somewhere here. Defense.
And they can't all be 10. This is
they
like...
Can't all, I mean, they could be. I'm going to be really hyped if it's nothing but 10s, but let's just say defense.
Or is it 1 through 10 and once a spot is assigned, it's
No. This is just like you're rating them...
Like, and are there colors and letters?
Megan is making this so complicated. I love it.
Man.
She's trying to make a copy of that brain. ESPN graph.
No, that's
there's a bunch of averages that go
that's
into
right,
this.
That's right. I'm just trying to find out if they're good, bad, you know,
I'm
like
dying.
Whatever it is. So defense, 1 to 10.
The defense on the whole?
Yeah, the defense, like as a defensive team.
Defensive core, like, you know.
10.
They're at 10. So they're as good at defense as anybody in the NHL.
Maybe, yeah, 10.
Yeah, I'm going to go 9 or 10. And for me, sorry, you're not going to like my answer. I love Vegas' decor.
Okay.
And you know what? They won last year, so yeah. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, it's
but you have Cale Makar. Yeah. Devontae, you have Byron. I mean, Gerard, I have to give him a 10.
Okay. Offense? Is there like a TBD to this, you think?
It is, because they haven't fully fleshed out their fourth line.
Okay.
And I'm sort of separating it by top six,
okay,
bottom six in my eyes.
Okay.
Top six, I think we're talking 8.
Okay.
9. Bottom six with a third line of Wood, Colton, and Tatar.
Okay.
I think we're still in the like 6-7. I don't know. I could be underselling.
So overall,
this.
We might be like 7.5. Like,
yeah,
pretty good. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I give him an 8. I mean,
you're a good grader. I want his class.
I'm a good grader. I'm an easy grader. You know, but I mean, they have some of the best players in the world, right? Rantanen and Makar. I mean, sorry, McKinnon. Yeah. And now I think we'll see that the additions of Wood, Colton, Tatar is going to solidify that. But she's right. You'd like to see what the fourth line can do. Vegas last year had probably
great
one of the best fourth lines in the NHL. They won. It's a copycat league. It is. And I'm not saying the Avs are trying to be Vegas, but I'm saying that it is important to have depth. And, you know, and I think that the Avs ran short a little bit last year with the injuries and everything. So, but if they're healthy lineup, yeah, I'll give them, an, you know, I'll go 8-5.
What about, I like it. Speed.
Oh, 10.
That's it. Yeah.
So this is, I'm trying to get identity. Yeah. Their identity is they're fast. Speed.
They're fast.
They're fast.
That's why you signed Miles Wood. You know, it makes you even faster. You know what I mean? So, I mean, they are a fast team.
Okay.
And they play fast. They are fast. And it looks fast, you know, so.
How about highlights? Where do they rank amongst the most highlight-worthy teams?
Can I?
Yeah, you want to? I love this.
Well, because so I'm almost wondering for upcoming. McDavid is always on the huge highlight reel, but Bedard's going to be huge on the highlight reel. So I would almost probably put the Avs maybe at like a 6 or 7.
But 6 or 7, if they're third, there's technically that still can be like a 9.
Yeah.
Because there's like an East Coast bias, in my opinion, in what makes highlight reels. And so that doesn't favor the Avs, who I think are made up of walking highlight, skating highlight reels, walking highlight reels. But because of that, that's why I go like more middling range, but they're worthy of being in the high 9 range, but they might end up closer to 8.
Yeah, you always see McKinnon or McCarr, or, you know what I mean, doing something cool. So yeah, they're up there.
You know, all right, last one for you, chemistry.
Well,
it's a mystery, but you project it.
I'll project it. I would tell you it's a 10. They won 2 years ago, so the chemistry of their, you know. But then there's a little bit of unknown because there are some new additions to try to see how they're going to fit. I just talked about Ryan Johansson. So I'll drop him down to a 9, you know.
I'm going to go with 10 because
I love it. Let's go.
They are highly selective in who they bring onto the group. They talk to the players. There are guys who are not on the Avs because players said no. And so they are very diligent in talking to former teammates, former coaches, well into a guy's career before bringing them into the fold to know if they're going to be a good cultural fit. And that's why I think they're going to all gel really well.
So here's what I gathered. Now I have my scout on the Avs now, just from these two segments here. They are an extremely fast, phenomenal defense with really good upper level offense, but maybe not enough depth to be an all around great offensive team. And the chemistry is TBD because last year was such a weird year that we have to kind of see if that mojo is still, everything still gels. I feel like I got it. And then questions around the goaltending, just goaltending depth in particular.
Yeah, because Georgiev is a top 10 goalie in the league. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, agreed. You want a little bit of help, you know. And that's where, who knows, Anninen might help. You know, I think he's the answer, but we'll see.
I think it's going to be a fun Avs year. I think that's almost a lock, you know, knock on wood, that it's going to be fun. And anytime you have a team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup, it's a good year. Definitely. And this is another opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. And by the way, how great would it be to get both, man? We saw a parade. First of all, Avs did a great job at their parade. I would say that the Avs on the whole did a better job than the Nuggets on the whole, but I think they're equal in that I think Malone flew higher than anyone. I know Landy like went all out and he did something, you know, the shirt and he was a little, but I think Malone flew higher than anybody. So I think he dragged the Nuggets up to the Avs' level in terms of parade presence. But it would be great to do a combined parade this year and just make Colorado
Jared
have
it. Jared Bednar cried. A little bit.
There's a little tear.
He teared a little bit. Yeah. I loved that version of him, and I'd like to see all of it brought together. I'm a little scared for what the city would become, though, if these things both happened.
I hope we get to see it. All right, let's take a quick break. On the other side, we're just going to do a little lightning round as we talk about the Nuggets, who are starting up their camp next week. We'll also talk a little bit about the Broncos and Buffs. All of us are amateurs when it comes to that stuff, so I can't wait to give us our perspective. First... Shady Rays. What do you know about Shady Rays, Eric?
Well, if I'm a Buffs fan tomorrow, I wear my Shady Rays.
You're going to bust them out,
I want to look like Deion Sanders, but, you know, Shady Rays, it's, you get 50% off, right, on your
50%?
Second pairs if you use your DNVR code. Use your Shady Rays because it is very sunny right now, and then the best time of the year in Colorado is coming up. I think you're
starting here.
You know, this is the best time of year. You know, it's sunny every day, and use your Shady Rays to make sure you're driving and hanging out at the park and walking your dog and taking care of your eyes.
What happens though if I lose my pair? I always lose them, and then I have to go buy a whole new pair, right?
Yes.
No.
No. Meaning, sorry, you don't have to buy a new pair. Yeah. You just bring it back. No, no. I mean, sorry.
How's the alley-oop?
You throw it to me, and I just went like, I hit my teeth on the rim. You know,
No, absolutely not. They'll replace them for you. No questions asked. That's what I love. Susie, she loses them every other day. She orders a new pair.
That's what I meant. Like, yes. You go back and bring, you know, let them know.
I'll also tell you guys about Breckenridge Brewery. Technically, it's Palisade Peach season. Still, I think Palisade Peach is definitely like a top 3 beer, I would say, at Breckenridge Brewery. Everybody that watches my show, the DNVR Nuggets, knows Avalanche Amber is like my favorite beer in the world. We're waiting 1 week, but this week, do me a favor. If you're watching the show and you open up an Avalanche Amber sometime in the next couple weeks, tag me. Take a little photo. Show me the beer.
This one's for you.
And just, you know, celebrate my personal favorite season, which is real fall. Real fall, which real is fall. Right now. It's right now we have real fall. It lasts all the way until Halloween. And I'll be drinking no fewer than 1,000 brick and Avalanche Ambers between now and then. All right, last segment here, guys. Let me turn the interview around. Nuggets go to Media Day this week. I'm going to be there. They are the reigning champions. They are the third or fourth favorite, depending on the day, in the NBA to repeat as champions. What do you guys want to know about the Nuggets? What's your level of intrigue and what do you want to know?
I want to know a question around Avs this time of year is what is the atmosphere like? What's the energy around the team? What's the vibe? And I want to know what the expectation is after winning it all. How the team returns for the next year. And I don't know if you can answer that until you actually get around them.
Definitely can't, but I am. But it does raise an interesting thing because one of the dynamics I love about watching your guys' show right now is the excitement of a person like you versus the unexcitement. And I'm not saying he's excited as a hockey fan, but when you get somebody that's on the inside, training camp can be the dog days. Like training camp can be, and even talking to him like, oh, these games or this or that. And that's a hockey guy who's been on the inside. And I think, so when you ask me that, I don't know what the vibe is. I'm going to wait and see. But I'm going to predict it. I'm going to predict Jokic is like, why am I here? Jamal's going to be like, why am I here? These are guys that know their system and their sleep. And they got to come over here and relearn something that they do anyone. So to me, I think that the vibe is going to be veteran dismissiveness of having to go through this portion.
Agree. And that's that. I mean, that is a valid point. But you know you have to go through it, and you want to make sure. Like Bednar said it today, I think, or yesterday. He's like, you know, our camp was great last year. You know what I mean? I think somebody asked a question, and he said, our camp was great, even though after winning the Stanley Cup.
Right.
And again, the camp has been good this year. You don't want to have a bad camp. It does drag into the season. So I think that the NBA is probably the same thing. I think you can think it, but you know you have to go to work and put the working shoes on and go.
But you know what makes a good camp? Veterans and veteran behavior.
Yeah.
Now, why I say veteran behavior is the Nuggets do have some rookies on their roster, but they're old rookies. They're 24. But they have a lot of veterans. And last year was the first training camp where I thought the vibes were Malone was relaxed. Usually training camp, he's up. So we always joke. There's one day where he comes in and says, oh, practice was terrible today. And he lights everyone on fire to the media, right? And it almost feels like a gimmick. Last year, there were none of those. I felt like he looked at his team in training camp and was like, we're adults. First time in my life, I'm coaching adults in training camp. They show up on time. They do their job. They know what they're supposed to do. And we can get out of here on time. And I'm curious to see. I expect that same thing this year because they're so veteran that Malone comes in and he's not doing the thing with all the youngins. Oh, you turned it over. You don't read this. You don't read that. I expect he comes in, probably can be a little less intense than usual because they've coming off a championship. And I hope and I expect that he's going to look around and be like, I have a mature team. I don't need to yell at these guys in August, September.
Well, if he didn't do it last year, then maybe you should take the same thing. Right. Same approach.
The other thing and you could probably speak to this too, Eric, but last year they had good veterans. And I never, because I've followed this team since they were very young, all the way on up, I never kind of knew what it was like to have 2-3 roster spots who were really just there to take guys out to baseball games and to put an arm around a young guy and say, keep your head up and this or that. And last year they had that, and it was evident immediately in training camp because team outings were happening all of the time. Like, there just was a different vibe amongst guys talking and this or that. And I watched it, and I go, man, these vets are really good. Now, they lost some of those vets. But they still have some new vets that they brought in, and that's one of the things I want to see is are those guys organizing things that get you through the dog days of training camp so that, you know, it's not just boring practices that you don't really need.
That's my question with the turnover is some of the key departures. Is there any concern or are you excited for some of the new arrivals to fill shoes? Like was Bruce Brown, that was one thing Malone in the parade wasn't able to secure.
Right. He tried.
I wished he had. And so I'm just curious if those are shoes that can be filled with some of the new arrivals.
There's no question they can. The question is, will they? I mean, that's what's great about it. I think what makes a season interesting is knowing you can win, but not that it's handed to you. Like, hey, it's going to be tough, but it's possible. And I look at it, I think the Nuggets have 6 proven guys. Their starting lineup, which is the best in all of basketball, and they have a sixth man in Christian Brown, who just as a rookie last year was phenomenal. He's going to be even better this year. You need 7.5 to win a championship. So there's 1.5 guys that they're going to have to find this season that grows into that role. And there's guys that you look at and say, yeah, I could see it. It's not a stretch to say that guy could grow into it, but they're not guys that you could roll out right now and do it. So that's what to me is intriguing about the start of the season and training camp is we're going to start to get early returns on, hey, Peyton Watson, basically a rookie. He was a rookie last year, didn't play. This year he's playing. Is he a guy that Malone is kind of feeling confident about as we go through this? Or is he a guy that's like, man, this guy's screwing up every day?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I'm an expert in basketball. I'm not by any means. But, you know, I haven't been at KSC for so many years. And, you know, obviously, you always follow the teams. And, you know, you get excited. I was excited to watch the Nuggets last year. I thought it was awesome. They hooked me, you know, where I didn't watch a lot of games before. You keep an eye out.
Yeah.
But, you know, and last year, the playoff run, I thought it was fantastic. It was fun. And I was like, man, these guys can't lose a game. You know what I mean? Like, they're that good.
That's what it felt like, man.
As if, I mean, for an outsider like me that doesn't know basketball, like, I was talking about bathroom breaks earlier. I was like, oh, my God. Like, these guys aren't losing.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool. And I got to see something a little different, too. Having one afterwards. Fellow Canadian, you know, which is nice.
Oh, let's go. Come on, Jamal Murray.
But I thought it was awesome. Yeah. Right? Knowing that as an athlete, what he went through, you know, what was it, 2 years or a give and take, right? I mean, I'm not too familiar.
He lost a year and a half, but he lost two playoff runs.
That's two playoff runs, almost 2 years, and just the raw emotion of, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not a basketball connoisseur, but I thought he was awesome in the playoffs, and it was great to see, and I was rooting for him, you know. Like I said, not that I'm that patriotic and everything, but there's not many Canadians in the NBA, so it was awesome to watch, and it was nice to see that raw emotion.
You know? I love that. I love this idea of the Canadian part of it really galvanizing your fan. I didn't even think of it, but you know what? Let's run with it.
Yep.
Let's talk real quickly about the Broncos, because I have a big thing. Well, I went to Philadelphia. I said this the other day. I'll be quick. But when I went to Philadelphia to help launch PHLY, I was blown away by how many people proudly declared themselves 4-for-4s. In Philly, a 4-for-4 is a thing. It's a badge of honor. That means I'm a fan of all four teams. So you ask somebody like, oh, man, you're a diehard Eagles. Oh, yeah, but I'm a 4-for-4. I follow all teams. I want to bring that to Denver. I want people to have the pride of being like, hey, man, I love the Nuggets. That's my team. But you better not say a bad word about my Rockies or my Broncos or my Avs or whatever. I like this idea. So Broncos are the one that most people are tethered to in some capacity. If you grew up in Denver, you at least know about the Broncos and are rooting for them. This is the worst Broncos team, the worst Broncos start I've ever seen in my life. And we've seen some bad ones, but never has there been one that just felt as bad as giving up 70 points. 70 points! And just looking as bad as they are, just kind of just, I know we're not football people. This is a casual Denverites take, but do you have any thoughts about this Broncos' abysmal start to the season?
I don't have a lot of thoughts on it, except for sympathy, because the 2010 Avs went through some dark ages, and the future vision of, I don't know if you would have even called it a rebuild at that time, but the stripping down of what was at that time a young core that was going to be replaced with a different young core. There was a lot of faith happening at that point, blind faith, because you didn't know what was on the other side of it. And the only thing I could point to for Broncos fans is hope for a better future.
What's the longest the Avs have been truly bad?
Well,
because they've had like little runs, but it, I mean,
like 3 years back, right? Like that 48-point season, and then the year before.
But so the 48-point season though was the first bad year, and then you're saying, see, that's a different thing to be in though, because that's a bottoming out.
Yeah.
And then the next year, even though they're not good, they're building something that you can see. The problem with the Broncos team is they were not building. I think they're going to start now.
Yeah.
This is the year where they realize they're rock bottom.
This is the 48-point season.
And it almost feels like 7 years of not realizing that you needed to do this, you know? And so now, you know, a rebuild takes 3 years. That's a long time. But when you start with 7 years of bad and then you say we need 3 years, you're like, man, a whole decade of my life?
What were we doing?
What were we doing?
What about the last few years didn't click? I don't know.
I just look at the Broncos situation and I think we're in uncharted territory. They've always been a first-class organization. They have very deep, I mean, they've had ownership, you know, ownership is so important in sports, and they've had a messed up ownership for a decade. Now they have a stable one, but ownership is hard in sports. It's not just about having money. It's about having vision. It's about having structure. Yes. It's about having all of those different things. And I look at the early returns on the new ownership group, and I look at the early returns of this team, and I go, I don't like the early returns. This does not look. And don't take for granted. You could probably speak to this in NHL when you go through arcs. Not every great franchise stays great. Franchises can be great for 30, 40 years. Change of ownership or just something happens and it falls off and you think you take it for granted and it doesn't come back. And I just look at the Broncos and I go, I don't think that's happening. We're a little ways away from that. But we're in year 8 right now of bad. After a while, you're just a bad franchise.
Yeah, and, you know, we got here in 96. Obviously, the Avalanche. Me, 96. The team, 95, 96. And you got to remember where this franchise came from is Quebec City. And all there was in Quebec City was the Nordiques. You know what I mean? You didn't have anything else. And then they got here, and winning the first year was huge. And you were always competing. Somewhere, somehow, you're competing with the Broncos because the Broncos were the number one thing in town. And I remember that, you know, all of a sudden Denver gets its first major championship, and it's not football, it's hockey.
Right.
And then there's somewhere, somehow, there's a little bit of jealousy, and it has to, you know what I mean? I think it's just not jealousy, but it's like competitive nature, human nature. You're like, oh, man, we got to do this too, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they ended up doing it like 2 years later, whatever it was. But football is huge in this town, mm-hmm. and, you know, and you're right. All of a sudden, if it's 8 years, then you know, you're starting to be like, oh, man. You know what I mean? And like you said, now you add like a rebuild, and then you're like, oh, that's a decade. You know,
right.
That's a lot. But then again, being an outsider in football, I looks like they got a strong ownership group, right?
They have a deep-pocketed one. Again, that's different.
I know, you're right. I think the jury's out, right? You know, see the
jury's
how they
totally
do.
Out, in my opinion. I just want to see where they go from here with it. And, you know, the thing about the Avs, to kind of wrap this up, the Avs did come in and win right away. And then they won again shortly after that. And when you win, you set the, you know, you set what a franchise is. So the Avs arrive here, and they're a first-class organization right away. It's like we didn't have to go through anything. The Avs walked into Denver and immediately were like, wow, that's a first-class organization. And there were ups and downs along the way, but I feel like, what's it been now, 30 years, almost 30 years? I feel like they have maintained first-class status the whole time. There might have been little stretches there where you kind of go like, I don't know, we're on watch. But they haven't been bad for long enough or directionless for long enough for me to say they lost that. And now you look at them again and they once again have a first-class team and you go, you know what? Every team does this. But first-class organizations have these eras that kind of come consistent enough for you to say they're always going to be good eventually. And the Broncos, my entire life, have been that team. You just know they're going to have a good team. They might be bad for 2 years. They might even be bad for three, but they're always going to come back. And this is the first time where I go, I don't know when they're good again. At the very moment, I just don't see when they're good again, and it's scary to me. Man, we had a fun show, and I have to end it on a down note?
Do you have words of comfort?
No.
We got to pick it up, then. What can we do? Like, hey, here's what it is. Here's what it is. Coors Field let us down this year, unless you were really into losing and wanting to set records. Coors Field let us down. Mile High appears to be letting us down. Ball Arena, though, could be an all-time year at Ball Arena. I really believe that. Nuggets, I'm looking at it, and I go, bring it on, man. Bring it on. I think the Nuggets are ready for anybody. And I look at the Avs, and it sounds like you guys have the same thought. Not that it's handed to them, but that you're like, look around and say, some good teams out there. We'll take them.
I thought this was a segue for CU Buffs and the excitement building around the program.
We ran out of time.
Okay. I thought we were going to end on that note. Like, Broncos football is rough right now, but there is a new day for the CU Buffs football program and Colorado football on the whole.
Folsom's not letting us down right now.
Has something to get excited around.
Well, there you go. Hey, we have it's feast or famine in Colorado right now. Yeah. Our teams are feasting at the moment, which is good. Guys, they have been absolutely crushing it. The DNVR Avs beat is revamped. It's refreshed, just like the Colorado Avalanche. Revamped, refreshed, and ready to win a championship. Our Buff show has been on fire. Pick a name. They were on the show in the last 2 weeks, so or doing an interview with our guys and gals in some capacity. So check them out. If you want to check in and kind of just see what's going on with a very exciting team, all the excitement in Denver is at Ball Arena this fall, this winter, and hopefully deep into the spring. They are covering DNVR Avalanche. I'm DNVR Nuggets, and that does it for DNVR for this week. We're off for the weekend. Go Buffs, go Rams, go Broncos. We'll see you guys on the other side.